It's a pleasure to be here. It really is. And, you know, when you're ever asked to come and speak, if that ever happens to you, don't turn it down. Ever turn it down. God will give you the words. No matter, you know, if you don't think, oh, I really can't do that, it's not about you anyway. So this isn't about me. This is about the Word of God this morning. Then after you eat, then I have a cough. Everybody here, if you haven't, has heard about what's happened in France, right? I mean, is everybody doesn't know what happened in France yesterday? You guys all know? At the ranch, everybody knows? Okay. Well, a group of terrorists came in, and in, I think it was 6 coordinated attacks, have killed over 150 people. Bombs, guns, yada, yada, yada. You know, the details right now aren't important, but it was a big deal. It's kind of like our 9/11. Does anybody remember where they were when 9/11 happened? I do. I remember exactly where I was. I just left a men's breakfast on my way back to Costa Mesa at the conference center where I worked. And I'll never forget, turn that radio on and go, hey, there's something going on in New York City. And then, of course, you got glued to the television and it was horrible. And it was a, you know, I don't know about you, but I had a, you know, my feeling in my gut was just, wow. You know, because you could hear, you could just, I mean, of course there was visuals, you had the videos, but you could just, you could feel it. You could feel the absolute terror, the absolute anguish with people who were killed and maimed and the families afterwards. It was a horrible thing. So something like that happened in France yesterday. And the details to follow. Well, as I was... You know, you have things in your mind you want to share with guys. And by the way, when I first became a Christian, out of the Jehovah's Witnesses, when I first became a Christian, God used these kind of breakfasts to minister to me. It's a bunch of Baptist guys from a church way up near Sacramento on the way to Tahoe. And I loved it. That's where I got my fellowship. I'd sneak over there and listen to them and everything. This gathering this morning, I've been here a few times, is very, very important to me. And I'm honored to be here. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 24. Is there any lemons over there, Dan? Or lemon water? Maybe some lemons that can be in the water. Oh, not before 11. Not before 11. Yeah, by the way, I love humor, so if you don't like humor, there's the door. So in chapter 24, let's read. And Jesus, now this is at the end of Jesus' ministry. And you've all read this before, I'm sure you have, but I'm just going to go from chapter 24, verses 1 through 14. And Jesus came out of the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out the temple buildings to him. And he, Jesus, answered and said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here shall be left upon another, which will not be torn down." So, that huge temple, all of that, for the man, Jesus, to say that was like, what? How's that possible? What do you mean torn down? This is our temple. This is like blocks. You've been in Israel, you see the big blocks and nobody just tears stuff like that down. It takes a lot. But Jesus said, they'll all be torn down. Not one should be left upon another. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, he traveled up there, the disciples came to him privately saying, "So tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age?" Knowing that... Thanks, Renee. That's very kind. Thank you, sir. Knowing that things were that he was going to die, the apostles, his followers, his disciples were asking him, tell us when these things will be and what will be the signs of your coming and of the end of the age. When are you coming back? What are the signs of this terrible thing that's happening? And Jesus answered. And Jesus answered them, see to it that no one misleads you. So, in my little interpretation, you're following me here. Okay, guys, you ask me this question, listen to me when I'm talking to you. Listen to me. Don't be misled. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you right now how it's going to be. What a glorious thing that would be to be with Jesus. I mean, the Son of God, God Himself. And you know when He spoke, you know, has Jesus ever spoken to you? Okay. Imagine, and there's like a supernatural event that happens, isn't there? This is a supernatural event. The Son of God, God, is telling them, eye to eye, listen, I mean, I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. Look at me when I'm talking to you, and don't be misled. Don't be misled. Verse 5, this is a New American Standard, so it might be a little different than yours. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and many will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. Oh. So all these wars and rumors were, but even that's not the end of it all. For a nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of these birth pangs. Wow. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations on the account of my name. And at that time, many will fall away and will deliver one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and will mislead you. And will mislead many. Not them, but many. And because of lawlessness, and because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But, and that's I love that word, but in contrast, the one who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel, the good news of the kingdom, shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. The experiences we're having now, and I got to speak about this because it's right in the news. This is why it's on everybody's mind, isn't it? Kinda. I oversee the couples ministry at the church, and this is kind of a downer. This whole France thing is kind of a downer. But we're here to encourage each other, right? Well, we are going to encourage each other because Jesus said, "You're going to endure." Now, you know the lawlessness going on right now. I mean, the acceleration of sin in this country, in this world, is escalating phenomenally. I mean, it is on a fast track. More than I've ever seen in my life. I'm 61. Not as old as Dan. Or George. I know. And George is the oldest person here. Yeah.
By far. Yeah.
77. Yeah. He looks 49. But there, the sense of urgency that's happening right now in my mind, just to share this with you, in my mind is this. I need to get the gospel out. I need to encourage whoever God puts in front of me. I need to get the gospel to them. Whoever God puts in front of me will. I need to encourage them with the word. Whoever God puts in my little sphere of influence and responsibility, whatever, I need to be spirit-led and remind them that this world is heading down really quick. I'm telling you, if you can't see it, I need you to wake up this morning. Now, most of us do. I get it. But, you know, I mean, there's Listen, I'm a man just like you. I've got my own, we talked about idols, we talked about this and that. I got my own baggage in my life that I need to take care of. What I'm encouraging myself to do and you to do this morning is remember what Jesus' words say. You will endure. Men, you will endure. You will endure. Or you're going to suffer the wrath of God. That's what's going to happen. Sorry, that's the way it is. If we don't endure, okay. Make your own choice. This evil that happened in France yesterday, if it's not another wake-up call, I think most of us Christians have it, but it's got to be a wake-up call. I was talking to George, my friend there, and him and his wife pray for our president every morning. I love that. I really do love that. And it's awesome. Because I don't, George, and I'm convicted. Thank you. But in addition to that, we have to get the gospel out. This is coming to an end pretty quick. Now, you know, Pastor Chuck used to say, you know, because I listened to, in the Bible college, I'd listen to every Pastor Chuck tape, which was great. I mean, it really, really helped me. And I've listened to, you know, you guys have had hundreds of Bible studies. Some of you have been to Calvary chapels and churches. You've heard hundreds of, maybe thousands of Bible studies. It's been good. But I can't exhort you enough this morning. You got it in you? Go do something with it. I'm not kidding around this morning. I'm telling you right now. I'm exhorting you in the name of Jesus. I'm in the Spirit. You got to do something with it. I need to do something with it. Jesus is saying, boys, you ain't seen nothing yet. You haven't seen anything yet. But that's not to frighten me. That's to give me a sense of urgency for the good news. For the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I taught Matthew in the Bible college, specifically the Beatitudes. In that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said something that really struck, it's never left me, and I believe the Lord had it for me personally. He said, remember he said this? There is a broad way to destruction and a narrow way to life. And this is what gets me. There's a broad way to destruction, a broad way you can go. Hey, go, do your own thing. And there's a narrow way to life. Remember that? There's a narrow way to life, my way, Jesus' way, and there's few that find it. Do you understand what that means? I'm trying to wrap my mind around that. Few that find it. Oh, the whole world's going to have it, but praise them. No, they're not. I'm sorry, they're not. Not according to the Word. This is not Will's Word. This is God. Jesus said this on his first major sermon he ever did. The Sermon on the Mount. Folks, thousands. Listen, there's a broad way to destruction. There's a narrow way to life. And there are few that find it. Now, you found it, right? You found it? Dan's found it. I found it. Everybody found it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Because this morning, if there's somebody that doesn't know yet if they found it, you need to find it. If you don't know the Lord, if you don't know Jesus, you need to find Him today. Today's the day of salvation. You follow what I'm saying? So when this is over, don't hold back. You don't know what's going to happen. I could get my little Toyota and head home to my bride of 38 years, and somebody could come along and crush me and kill me. And I would be thankful that I got to share this with you guys, and you guys were attentive and listening, because that was the last thing I got to do. What's the last thing you're going to do? I mean, really, think about it. I don't think about it enough. I get it. I'm just a guy like you. I'm a knucklehead. In fact, sometimes I'm an idiot. Sometimes I'm not that good of a person. I'm not. But I do know this. I do know this. I believe what God's Word says. I believe what God's Word says. So listen, I'm gonna do one more thing. We got how much time we got? 25. 25? I thought we had to close at 10. 25? Oh, communion. We got to do communion. I'm sorry. Okay. Here we go. So everybody follows this, right? I mean, it's not rocket science. I mean, I could do a lot of commentary on this, but that's not me. I'm a man like you. I get to be a pastor, which is a blessing. I'm exhorting you through the Word of God here. Get serious. Get going. Don't be scared. Have courage. And teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the key. Things are going down quickly. And it is accelerating. In some weird way, I'm excited about this whole thing that's happening. It just is, because I'm thinking, Will Lynn gets to live. I mean, we're living in the last days. I mean, they're coming for us. They are coming for us. Will you be able to stand? Now, you know, are we going to get raptured before, you know, it really gets too bad? I don't know. There's a lot of different, I'm taught and I teach, you know, the pre-trib. I think we'll be out of here before it gets crazy with the rapture, the tribulation. But what if I'm a little bit off? I mean, smarter men than me, greater men than us, have gone through these things, you know. But as far as I know, we're out of here. But what if, just thinking, what if we weren't? Are you strong enough to stand? Are you strong enough to stand? Only you can answer that with the Lord, not me. I'm going to stand. I'm willing. Are you willing to give up your life for the gospel? You're supposed to. Let's see what happens. Let me just read this to you. Just rest for a second, then we're going to have communion. This is Matthew 24, 1 through 14 out of the Living Bible. Just rest for a moment. As Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples came along and wanted to take him on a tour of the various temple buildings. But he told them, all of these buildings will be knocked down, with not one stone left on top of another. When will this happen? The disciples asked him later, as he sat on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. What events will signal your return and the end of the world? Jesus told them, don't let anybody fool you, for many will come claiming to be the Messiah and will lead many astray. When you hear of wars, when you hear of wars beginning, this does not signal my return. These must come, but this is not the end yet. The nations and kingdoms of the earth will rise against each other, and there will be famines and earthquakes in many places. But all this will only be the beginning of the horrors to come. Then you will be tortured and killed and hated all over the world because you are mine. Are you feeling it? Can you drink of this cup? Can you drink of the cup? And many of you shall fall back into sin and betray and hate each other. Ouch, Lord, have mercy. And many false prophets will appear and lead many astray. Sin will be rampant everywhere and will cool the love of many. But those enduring to the end shall be saved. And the good news, I love this, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And then finally, the end will come. And of course, it goes on in 15, and you can read that yourself. Pretty heavy, isn't it? You know, kind of scare the hell out of you. But on the other hand, it should be like a word of encouragement. There are people that have come to me, you know, for counsel over the years, and you know, who am I? You guys, I'm gonna say this again. I'm just a guy, just a man. I'm a man like you. But I do have an unction from the Father. I have an unction that He wants to use me in a particular way. And you too. Everybody, we just talked about last night, the couples, about the many parts of the body. I just do this down here. I'm just a servant down here. Okay, well, guess what? God even says, hey, that particular person has a special place in God's heart. Do you know that? I'm a pastor, I can preach and I can do all this. Okay. But the other part of the body is just as important. And this isn't man talking, this is Jesus talking. This is the Holy Spirit talking. Lastly, before we take communion here. Again, the challenge this morning is clearly to me. Will, are you able to drink this cup? Remember that story in the Bible? You remember that? I'll do this for you, Jesus. I'll do that. Are you able to drink the cup? Yeah, I can drink the cup. But you know what Jesus said? You will. You will. Confess Jesus as your Savior. Have the courage and the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish things. Be useful in the ministry. Now's the time. It's not a time to pursue. I'm telling you, I struggle with this all the time. Listen, I got so many bucket list things I want to do before I die. But you know what? It's starting to become less and less important, and I can afford it less. And my time is so limited. My friends are saying amen, and you're right. So what do I have? I've got the Word of God. I got the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm able to be useful in the ministry, because I'm telling you, that's where it's going to come down to. Are you useful in the ministry? And don't leave here without thinking about this on the way home. Are you able to drink the cup? The cup of sufferings from Christ. That's the key. And again, you don't have to answer to me, but you want to answer to the Lord. This relationship you have, this vertical relationship we have with God, is the most important thing you could ever have. If you don't have that this morning, I'll pray with you. Pray with somebody else. Make that commitment. Don't go away from here without making that commitment. Now let's do communion. Let's do communion, Dan. You know, here's a cup we're going to drink. There is a few passages in the scripture about communion. So I'm just going to mention them to you. As you take this cup and you take the Lord's body and blood, consider what you're doing. Consider who you are. You remember what it says? If you have anything against anybody, to forgive them and go leave it at the altar. Get over it. Stop the unforgiveness. If you hate anybody, don't take this. I'm pretty strict on this. I'm not Catholic, but I'm pretty strict for me. I'm just exhorting you. You do what you need to do. It's between you and the Lord. I know what the Word says. If you got hate for somebody right now, if you have animosity, if you're holding a grudge against somebody, don't take this. Just pass it on. It's okay. You don't have to. Okay. This doesn't save you, by the way. You know that, right? Drinking this today doesn't give you salvation. You either have it or you don't. What this is all about is remembering that Jesus was able to drink the cup. He drank the cup. He sacrificed himself for us, for you, for me. He really did. This is not some fantasy story. God took God came down on earth, took flesh and blood, and got the snot whooped out of him. Ultimately was executed for you, Ryan. For me. For George, for Dan, all of us. Amen? I know you know that, but let me tell you something. The exciting part is, I've heard this before. Let me just share this real quick. Am I over time? You keep looking at your watch. What do you want? What do you want, Dan? Come on. I got plenty of time, and I don't have any time. I love Dan. We go back a ways. Listen, what you're about to take, did I get one? Where is it? Oh, where? This isn't some cracker. I'm not getting crazy on you. Listen to me. This isn't some cracker. This represents my Lord, his flesh. You understand this? Get this in your minds. This is not just some cracker. This is a representative of Jesus. Now, it's not really his flesh. I get that. Let's not get there. But when I take it, I don't pretend like, well, I've heard some people say, no, they kind of go overboard saying, well, this isn't really God's, Jesus' flesh. Now, don't forget about that, because they overemphasize the anti-Catholic thing or Lutheran or whatever it is. I say, your brother Will says, this represents my Lord's flesh. And this is juice. This represents his blood. Serious business. Serious business. Amen to that?
Yeah.
It's not just some cracker. It's not some juice. When I'm taking this with you, Lord, I take this in remembrance of you. Remember me when you take this. Amen? So let's remember Jesus right now. Let's open up. How do you do this? Okay. I got it, buddy. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Lord, this is your body. And Lord, we take this, we eat it in remembrance of you until you come. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's partake this flesh together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice for us, Lord. Lord, it took the beating, it took the spilled blood to save us from hell. It took that, Lord, to reconcile those who believe in you to the Father. And we boast in you, Lord. We glorify you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And then they took, man, I'm having a problem with this. Well, that's kind of spilled here. Kind of reminds me maybe of the crop. Wow. I mean, I just had that, like, vision here. Like, wow, there's pouring his blood all over the place. Never thought about that before. Okay, well, this is good for me. And then he took the blood. He shed it for us, right? Amen? And he shed it for us because he loved us, and he had to. If he didn't, we could not be born again. We could not have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We would be in judgment. But we take this in remembrance of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's partake. Father, as we end, what an honor it is to be with brothers of like precious faith, Lord. Men just like me, Father, with baggage and issues in life and all of that. But Lord, besides that, Lord, again, we recommit ourselves this morning by taking communion. We recommit ourselves to you. And Lord, have a mindset of a sense of urgency for the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's what we want to do. Lord, help us be useful to you. Not useful to us, but useful to you in the ministry. Help us, Lord. Help us. And Lord, bless these men. Bless these men today as they go about their business. And Lord, remind me and remind them today, are we willing to drink the cup of sufferings? And I say, I confess to my brothers, I say, yes and amen. Give me the courage, Lord, to do that. It's not in me, Lord, but give me the courage. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
don't worry about it. Praise the Lord, man. That was a great word of encouragement, and you know, it's a great reminder always to remember that God's given each one of us gifts.